Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. So thanks for coming to back to my channel, talking about the Ides of March. So the 15th of March, which is yesterday, I'm always a bit behind on these things. It's not the 15th of every month, according to the Julian calendar. Sometimes it's the 13th of the month. So really the midpoint of the month. They were going by a lunar calendar in those days. But most prominently in 44 BC, that's when Julius Caesar met his doom, being poniarded to death in the Senate by various people. So recalling that. Yeah, Kai Su Technon and you, my son, I just think, is it Plutarch? Is that the Roman historian who wrote about it? Although he wrote in Greek, even though he was a Roman, because that was the language of education there. I mean, obviously they did Latin as well, but with the only other civilization they really looked up to, the Romans, didn't stop them invading and conquering Greece. But so what was it all about? So Julius Caesar, the Roman Giza, he had himself declared a dictator for life. Coins struck with his image on it, which I think had kings done so before. And remember, he was consul, and there were to be two consuls at one time to serve for 1 year only. I mean, very few exceptions to that. But I mean, he was going to be the sole consul, not to share power, because the Romans ones who probably invent the idea that you had to have separation of power, and power needs to be limited, temporally limited, because otherwise this person, he would accrue more power, have his placemen here and there, be impossible to get rid of him. He would start bending the constitution, indeed breaking the constitution. Remember, king was a four-letter word for the Romans. They'd chased away Tarquinius Superbus, Tarquin the Proud. I used to pronounce of my pupils Tarquin Superbus, as in he used to drive the drive a bus. Anyhow, so they didn't want kings. And that's why they had to have two people at the same time. I mean, usually unrelated. You could only serve for 1 year, then you could never become overmighty, was the idea. But, you know, he'd broken the law. He'd crossed the Rubicon with his troops to seize power. And people were really agog at his victory over Gaul. He wrote about it in the Gallic Wars, and wrote about that in the third person. Anyway, so Plutarch would have us believe that a soothsayer warned Caesar that he was in danger on the Ides of March. Beware the Ides of March. Beware. Yeah. He was nonchalant about this, and he supposedly quipped that nothing bad had happened to him that morning when he happened to see that soothsayer when he's walking down the street. But the liberatores were keen to kill him because they thought that he had become a danger to the Republic. Remember, and who were they? They were Brutus, who was 70 years younger than him, a good friend of his, Marcus Junius Brutus, a well-known public speaker. And they've been so close, some people imagine he was the natural son of Julius Caesar. Cassius also wanted him dead. Gaius Cassius Longinus. Okay. So partly it was ideological, the motivation, and maybe there was an element of personal jealousy there. So he went to address the Senate, and then he stabbed to death by many senators. The idea is that they can't punish us all. Yeah. So and that's why when several of us stabbed him and Brutus approached with his naked blade, Caesar managed to say, "And you, my son?" Okay. Because he can't believe that even Brutus, not his literal son, was willing to do this to him. But if you really were heavily bleeding, have been stabbed several times in the chest, I don't think you'd be so chatty. And Julius Caesar in his play, not Julius Caesar, William Shakespeare in his play Julius Caesar, renders it et tu Brute. What to say if a lot of people are rounded on you, and then even your best friend goes against you, that point you say et tu Brute. You couldn't believe that even your friend would turn against you, and he breathes his last. So that was that was the end of the Roman Republic, really an uneasy truce for a while. Then he's cremated. I come to praise to bury Caesar, not to praise him. Then speech by Mark Antony, his right hand man, and Caesar's will is published, in which he gave one of his gardens to the public as a park. And he donated lots of money to all the citizens of Rome. I think he actually lived in the city. And by the way, most people in the empire weren't citizens. They lived far away. I'm not quite sure how you got to be a citizen. But I remember my teacher, my God, this is 30 years ago, saying it was about £100 per person. Well, you think with inflation, that'd be £200 per person each. Well, if you were a pauper, that was not an insignificant sum. Okay, so that's why then the Civil War broke out and Julius Caesar's assassins, their faction, They fled Rome. They went all the way to Greece. They lost that Battle of Pharsalus. So Mark Antony was fighting for the late Caesar's cause and Julius Caesar's grand nephew Octavian. So finally they won. Although those two obviously had their falling out. Remember, Julius Caesar's girlfriend was Cleopatra, had a son with him, Caesarion. Don't pick up the child or you'll be recognizing paternity, but he did pick up the baby. What else? Rumors had spread about Mark Antony, because Mark Antony, he then married Cleopatra, and that he wanted to move the capital of Rome to Egypt. And Egypt was a source of grain. Egypt in the Roman imagination was a bit like India in the British imagination at the zenith of imperialism, a colony that was gigantic, that was ancient, that was mysterious, incredibly alluring, a very important economic resource, and to the point that the Romans said the governor of it had to come from the equestrian class, couldn't be from the senatorial class, because for a patrician it'd just be too tempting to try and make yourself pharaoh or something like that. But somehow this would equestrians wouldn't even think of it, because they're socially stratified. They realized they couldn't possibly mount a throne anyhow, and that's how the empire was divided. And remember, and Octavian was also 17 when his grand uncle was killed. He defeated the Liberatores in two battles at Forum Gallorum in northern Italy. But anyway, they split the Roman Empire briefly. Remember, Antony and Cleopatra given the eastern third, and then Octavian retained the western two-thirds, but they then fell out and had that sea battle of Actium. Should see that film, Antony and Cleopatra, from the 1960s, starring Elizabeth Hurley as Cleopatra. And Mark Antony, I can't remember, is it Richard Burton, her real life husband, who plays Mark Antony? I forget who plays that one, who plays Octavian. And the late James Bond star, goodness, what's his name? Roger Moore. He was what Roman soldier in it. He was sort of an extra and got picked out as talented. And as he said, I either had a long spear or a short toga, whatever. Because in those days, there's no AI. They had to have thousands of people at the crowd scenes. It was a magnificent, extravagant Hollywood film. All right. And who else? Did anyone else have a small role in it? I was thinking Jack Hawkins, maybe not. And that's why they were defeated. They flee back to Egypt. And then Cleopatra commits suicide by having the asp brought in, the poisonous snake, to bite her. That's the end of them. And Octavian, I so honor my uncle, Julius Caesar. Ah, here's his son, Caesarion. I'll kill him. Partly because he's a possible claimant. And remember, Octavian then has himself made Augustus, as in meaning respected one. He's the one who changes the calendar, introduces July and August, 2 more months. It was a 10-month calendar, became a 12-month calendar. And he's the one who's first emperor, because Julius Caesar actually never called himself emperor. Remember, imperator is like commander, literally imperare, to order. And soldiers throwing their hats in the air, chanting imperator, imperator, is how someone could be hailed as an emperor. And remember, he had his late granduncle deified, and they started to do this for all the emperors. So that's why Suetonius wrote his Lives of the 12 Caesars, beginning with Julius Caesar. And then Caesar just became synonymous with emperor, and it passed into other languages, Kaiser in German, Kaiser also in Hindi, or Shah, Tsar, and so on. Anyway, so thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecarlin7@gmail.com, and beware, beware the Ides of March.